Let's do this. Welcome back. Murder Gymnastics, a wrestling podcast. My name is Collier, also known as Mr. Meanie. And once again, here as always, my buddy Paul. What's up, dude?
Yo, hello.
How's it going? It's good. How about you?
Yeah, doing good.
Cheers, buddy.
Cheers. Last vestiges of summer hanging on by their fingernails.
Oh,
and
man.
Fall's coming in.
The fall is here in Montreal. So we had the heat wave last week. It's roasting. And then today I was freezing, like thick socks, like sweater. I'm like, wow, it just snapped. Like here it's like it happens instantly. You can feel it happen through the window. It's just one day it's hot and all of a sudden, like, nope, it's done. Yep. Summer's gone. It's over. Not coming back.
That's funny. Well, because the last time we recorded, you were sweating your balls off. You were in your lovely Heart Foundation, Heart Family tank.
Oh, yeah.
Now, yeah, the flannel's out.
The lumberjack flannel, right? So still very popular in Alberta. So it's
yep,
still exactly. Appropriate. So, well, we've been neglected to talk about our beloved NWA the last little while, at least not focusing too closely on it, because frankly, it wasn't that great for a while there. We both were struggling a little bit, still watching. But yep. This is going to be a very NWA-centric episode because for once I'm quite excited to talk about it. So
yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. There was a lot of, I mean, there was always elements that we really liked, but it was always kind of this little golden nugget surrounded by some frustration that you're just kind of thinking, figure it out. Just be better. Like you were on track. And yeah, so part of that was, yeah, the frustration with the build or lack of build to their big pay-per-views. So,
and now we kind of know why. It seems pretty clear that they were trying not to set up too much stuff because of what 75 was going to mean and represent.
Yeah.
So I get that, but still as a fan, then write the most basic, just, I hate you. Yeah, well, I hate you. And have that happen for a month or two. Just even if it's a dumb story, just write something so it doesn't seem so completely random. But anyway, that's what we had, random set of episodes that sort of just limped its way into NWA 75, which was a two-night pay-per-view, and I quite enjoyed. I thought it was actually a pretty darn good show.
Yep, I agree. And like we were saying with our AEW review, there's not ever going to be the perfect pay-per-view, but there were, I can't really think of many matches that I would have said, they didn't really need that match.
Not really. The only thing that was odd to me was a bit of repetition on night two. It seemed like it did feel like a reboot of what they were doing because almost everyone wrestled again the next night. So I guess it's not repetitive. I guess that's what they were going for. It was kind of like almost like the start of a new season happened there in the pay-per-view. And we'll get to that because as far as refreshing goes, they definitely refreshed how the promotion
they hit the
feels.
Reset button. Yeah. So, well, and I've noticed, and this one really drove the point home to me, is that when you get two night NWA pay-per-views, night one is fairly set up. Like, you know what you're going for.
Yeah.
And night two, you know, maybe half the card. And then the other half is just going to be figured out from either the pre-show or something that happens in night one. Like we've had a couple times, Camille fights both nights and she fights, you know, the winner of somebody that won a battle royal, which is the case in what happened this time too. But yeah, sometimes things that happen on night one of the pre-show setup elements of night two, which I don't dislike. It's just, it's an interesting setup.
I like it better when it's not done too often. When it's more like a special treat where there is a thing that happens night one. Oh my God. And it carries over into night two. That's cool. Or like, I think the best two nighter is the Crockett Cup, because it is a tournament that progresses over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can just have tons of matches that maybe could be saved for a television show, but I see what they were doing here. I don't blame them for what they were doing with this card, because they were trying to get the foundation set for where they wanted to go.
Yeah.
And it was clear right off the bat, because they opened with, you know, women's TV title match. Although I like to call it the non-binary TV title match.
Yes.
So Kenzie Page, our girl, comes out against Max. So Max comes out and I always think, you're fucked. So
yeah.
Whenever Max loses, I'm always shocked, because it just never seems plausible. It's like that's impossible. What are you talking about? Andre the Giant can't lose. Like, it's that kind of idea. So when Max basically destroyed her, like, that was it was a beating. Like, it was clotheslines and I was cringing the whole time. So that was an annihilation for the TV title. Yeah, that definitely set the stage for where we were going. That felt like a reset right there.
Yeah. Well, and it worked too, because I mean, we talked about the lack of build towards this, but I guess there were little seeds set up as far as what Kenzie Page had been doing leading up to this. She was escaping matches by the skin of her teeth, really milking that 6:05 time limit. Whereas in the pay-per-view, there is no time limit. So
yeah, you can't hide. Yeah.
Yeah. You are not milking that clock. And so I thought that actually worked really well.
Totally.
I was surprised at how brutal the beating was. Cause I mean, usually if a champion's going to lose a belt, it's not as one-sided as at least it seemed on first viewing.
If they wanted to like establish a champion that you're really going to be intimidated by, I think they did that. So I think that might've been where they were just going to this division. Now suddenly the TV champ, the non-binary NWA television champ. Yeah. There's no question. And anyone that thinks they're going to take that away in 6 minutes, good luck with that. Whoever's got the Burke should be scared of seven max wins in a row. Seems like a pretty like a given, the lucky number seven. So
they're coming for you.
Yeah. So that match, you know, it was a banger in Kenzie Page's face right off the start. Sort of set the stage for where we were going with titles in this pay-per-view, because the next one up was the Thrillbilly was going after the, I guess it was, no one was champ because the North American title had been vacated in that way that we hated the abandonment of the title. But once you get to the pay-per-view, that doesn't matter anymore. I was like, okay, now it's just a vacated title. Whether they're going for it, and that was, I enjoyed that match actually. That was that a four way? Trying to think what that match was, or was it just one?
It was more than one. I was thinking three way, and bad on me, I did not put that in my notes.
Me neither.
Why would I do that?
I've got in my notes that Thrillbilly smashes Del Mar because that was definitely them breaking up, and then winning the gold. So, which was a shame. I like Poco Del Mar quite a bit, but she hasn't left. She's still doing promos and stuff. So hopefully she finds another place in the NWA. Maybe she can take over somebody else.
It was a three-way. Thrillbilly beat Kratos and Odinson.
Right. Yes. So, that was, we had two matches and two title changes. So away, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So
that's what we're doing.
Yeah. People have been complaining about the NWA online. I think they're doing a reset. It was very clear. So we had new champs. That was a hard hitting match. I don't have tons of things to say about it other than it really showed me what I was going to expect from the rest of the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And there was go ahead. Sorry.
No worries. I was just going to say, and really they picked a good final three. Huge fan of all of them, like huge. And all three of them, as far as Kratos, Odinson, Thrillbilly, they're people that you could legitimately see carrying a title for a little bit, not just a paper champion or a placeholder for somebody else to come along. Like, all three of those performers, those wrestlers, are formidable in their own right.
Oh, totally. For sure. Yeah. All big guys, all big, strong guys. And that was another example of having, if you win that match against those big guys, it sort of sets a precedent for, oh, shit, Thrillbilly's someone to contend with. He just knocked off those, you know, colossally huge men, right? So basically the gods of the NWA based on their gimmicks, right? So
he literally beat the Immortals.
He beat the Immortals. Yeah. So I like that tag team actually, that they finally put them together. It's not in wrestling, it's not cheesy at all to have two gods teamed up and call them the Immortals. I'm like, that's perfect actually.
Yeah. Well, and we saw it at the Crockett Cup and I was a little sad that it seemed to go away.
I know.
So I'm really glad that they've revisited that they're bringing that back.
Yeah, I liked it too. So the definite standout moment from the next match, which was Homicide defending the light heavyweight title. Oh, wait, no. What was the next match?
It was Joe Alonso versus Homicide, but no
title. Joe Alonso, that's right. It was like a no DQ match or something, right? I love that Homicide was wearing the Terry Funk gear. Like, he basically was like, because I didn't realize that was his hero. I didn't realize that. He might have even got some training from him. I didn't know that. So that was pretty cool. And that match was rough. That was he wasn't very nice to Joe Alonso. Homicide.
Alonso wasn't nice to him.
No, that was lots of mean spirited spots in that. Yeah. I find Homicide can just be, he can be so mean in there. That's one of his parts of his gimmick is just, I'm going to be a total dick to you for about 10 minutes now.
I'm going to bite your fingers. I'm going to break yep. your fingers. I'm just,
you're blow his nose on you. Just like yeah. every little yeah. like gross schoolyard bully trick, you know, yeah. and it's so effective.
Yeah. So. I'm going to beat you down and I'm going to humiliate you and you're going to walk out of here with a limp.
Yeah. So yeah, that match was as ugly as it was supposed to be. So yep. yeah. Yeah, but you're right. No title involved in that one. My notes jump quickly to Juggalos in the House. So that's right. The clowns then showed up. Was it Clowns versus La Rebellion?
That was night two. Magnum Muscle, Mims and Dak Draper.
On night one?
Yep.
Juggalos versus Mims. That didn't have much of a. I like the clowns, but that one line of Juggalos in the House. I'm like, oh man, that doesn't tell me a whole lot about that match. So,
well, and you know what? I'm just looking on the Wikipedia page. I don't honestly remember that match. Yeah, and it's saying here that it's the eighth match. So,
clearly,
it wasn't memorable because unless it got scrapped, because the next match in the line. is the one that I have next in my notes.
Yeah, I even have stretchy arm clown gag because I remember the one clown did the stretchy arm gag in the match. So that match definitely happened. That definitely happened. And apparently the finish was ugly. I'm noticing I have two more notes in there. Ugly finish. I'm like, thanks, Collier. That's helpful. Ugly finish for who, you ding nut.
Ugly notes for an ugly
finish. Ugly notes for an ugly finish. Yeah, we'll move past that match. Next. Yeah.
We clearly it left an impression.
So now is light heavyweight title, right? Now we got Kerry Morton and our guy, Colby Carino, who I love. Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of his manager, but I think that's all part of the, you're not supposed to like that guy. So if he's your favorite in the NWA, you're probably a slime ball. So he is a slime ball.
There's a lot wrong with that.
A lot wrong with that. So that was a great match. Equal sized. I like Colby Carino more. I think he's a little more seasoned. I think Kerry Morton's coming along, but he's definitely going hard on this almost like Matt Cardona character. Like he's trying to be
completely unhinged.
Yeah, and it doesn't always work for me. I don't like it. I thought it was just gonna be kind of like a cocky strut, but he's gone psycho, and it doesn't always work for me.
No, he's turned up to 11 all the time.
All the time.
And we will talk a little bit more about that later in night two as well. But I agree. Some of it I think works, but some of it it's like any good heel. You pick and choose your moments. Because if you're like that all the time, it's just really easy to tune you out and it becomes very one note, but he is young. He's finding he's learning, he's finding his groove. He's workshopping and finding the character.
Yeah, exactly. So I was happy to see the title change. I was hoping that Colby would get a good push now that they're doing like a reboot of the whole thing. He can be one of the feature guys and cause he's very talented. He's very confident. And he's gone to other places and he's dipping his toes in other promotions. So if this doesn't work out, he'll go somewhere else. Like his career's not over when he's done in the NWA. So yeah, I'm glad.
He's definitely more rounded and more polished and more, at least in my mind, indicative of a champion. Like the Kerry Morton push was fun.
Yeah.
And it worked. But I was so elated that Colby Carino won the belt because before he left, it felt a little wasted that he didn't have a belt put on him because it just seemed like he was wasted. So it really does seem like now that he's back, he really is getting a chance to really prove himself and prove that he is worthy of that push.
Yeah, exactly. Danny Deals on color, he said a great line in that match when I think it was Colby Carino did he does some crazy flips that kind of come out of nowhere off the ropes. And he said, wow, he pushed the A and B buttons there. I was like, oh, it's a great video game joke that people our generation will remember. So
yeah,
I thought that was good. You know what?
Danny Deals has a lot of gold.
Like, yeah, he does.
He just has these lines that if you're not really paying attention, they'll slip by you. Like he was talking about Daisy Kill and Talos, and he called them Power Ballad and Pantera.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's really good.
I'm like, oh man, you're amazing. Like, he is so damn good.
So I have a strange note here right after this match that you might have to help decipher for me. Okay. My notes are fucking brutal on this pay-per-view here. It says, oof, James Storm. What would that
you
mean?
You meant Tim Storm.
Was that match on night one?
Yes, where it was Jack Steam versus Tim Storm, and it got like two minutes in, so and they had to stop it.
So I was so traumatized by the moment that I wrote James instead of Tim.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. That.
Yeah.
Like, okay, for anyone that didn't see it, Tim Storm is a he works as an announcer, and he comes out of retirement all the time to still have matches, and he probably shouldn't because he's not a young man, and it's a very rough game, and clearly, I'm sorry, his body is not where it needs to be, because I was really scared for him the way he got hit, and he was down, and then he didn't get up, and you could see he wasn't going to get up, not in that fun wrestling way. It was. He. I saw him say something to Jax. I could see Jax didn't quite know what to do, and then he came up and threw a little phantom punch, and then started like mocking to the crowd. And Tim just lied there. I'm like, okay, this is not. No one writes this in a match. This is bad. Mm-hmm. And then they stopped showing it. So once they go to the announcers, and one of the announcers is crying, you're like, oh no, this is not good.
And they're calling for people to come in, and and then you see. Like Tyrus come running to the ring.
Yeah.
At first, I wasn't sure what was going on because he was just laying in a very awkward position. And I thought, is he just really goading Jack Stane to do something? I'm like, oh no, he can't move.
Yeah.
He's done. So, when you see the panic on everybody's face, and like you said, Velvet's crying, and you're like, oh shit.
So it sounds like he's okay, but. I haven't seen him in the product since then, so not sure what
commenting. He was commentary night too.
Oh, was he? Oh shit, you're right. Yeah. Okay, so but anyway.
They didn't like. They only mentioned later in the broadcast, like, oh, we hear he's okay. But I thought, well, is he? You're not going to tell the fans anything different. But
well, I'm glad he's okay. But maybe stick to the microphone. You're scaring us in there, Tim. You're scaring us in there.
Well, and he's got his own wrestling school, so I think he's in somewhat quote-unquote game shape, but maybe this, I mean, I think it was even last year he was in that brutal, no-holds-barred match with Tom Ladmore, and I feel like there was somebody else in there, and even then he was taking brutal spots, and then I was thinking, I don't think you should be doing this.
No. Glad he's okay. Maybe stay out of the ring. So,
yes.
The Burke Invitational was next, a match to see who would get a bonus shot at the title the next night, because Camille was defending the title as the main event that night. The winner of that would have to then defend again the next night. So I like the Invitational idea, but it does have that kind of Royal Rumble feel to it. I actually prefer elimination. I forget what they call that match. I've seen it in other promotions where you have two people wrestle. And when someone's eliminated, the next person runs out, and it's just pinfall. And you get some really fun. Sometimes you can have someone run the gauntlet. They have to win six little mini matches in a row. It's a good story. This turned into just sort of like one of those battle royal situations with the two people wrestling and the four people lying in the corners.
Yeah.
So not the strongest format for a match, but it did have the, so Kenzie loses her TV title. And then she gets inserted into that match at the end. She was the last person to enter. I'm like, okay, that's actually.
She was the first.
Oh, was she first? Yeah, you're right. She was
the first. It was the stipulation that she begged to be put in there, apparently.
That's right.
And they said, you can go in, but you're first. Number one. Yeah.
So it kind of, you see, she lost her title. Oh, now she's going to get a shot at night two. I'm like, okay, that's good storytelling. That makes sense. But of course, Max was in there too. And I did I always like when. In a battle royal, you team up on the giant and everyone forces them out. Like that's like the oldest trick in the book. And when it comes to that type of match, but also you have to, otherwise, like that's the whole idea. If you don't go after the giant one, then they're going to kill everybody. So
exactly. It just makes good sense.
So yeah, it came down to Kenzie winning that match and getting a title shot. So I enjoyed that quite a bit.
And they had some fun. They had some fun people in there. Like they had some people that felt like your typical, I hesitate to say filler, but people that you haven't really seen before. They're from another promotion and you think.
Just call them jobbers, Paul. It's okay. It's not an insult word. That's, but they're there to do a job, right? They are literally
talent.
They're jobbers. Jobbers is a good word. It means you're doing your job.
But I really liked that they had, obviously we said Kenzie Page, but they also had, she's got the
Allison Kay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
They had Allison Kay, and it came down to Allison Kay and Kenzie Page. And I thought, well, that's good. Because thinking, okay, they're going to reset. Are they setting up an Allison Kay versus Camille on night two? Assuming that Camille would win, right? Kind of the old versus the new. So, but yeah, I thought that was a really good inclusion.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Yeah, it was a good match, and it was nice to see some of the old faces, and but still have one of the newer faces be the one that's moving on. I thought that was important. So yeah, that was a good match.
Yeah.
So next up, we had the tag titles up for grabs: La Rebellion versus Blunt Force Trauma. We both love Aaron Stevens. Like, I'm not a mark for Blunt Force Trauma. They serve a purpose. I don't mind big, strong, mass dudes. I don't think either one of them are particularly good wrestlers. So they rely on slams and forearms and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, but I like the gimmick of the big masked sort of hitman, and their manager just steals the show. So I kind of put up with them for more Aaron Stevens screen time. The refereeing in that match was really weird. The glove thing, but basically any sort of outside interference in matches in the NWA are not always governed that well. I don't find the referees. It always looks like the fix is on, but then they never say that. So I think it's just a mistake. But the finish of that match was, I didn't like how it wrapped up, but it was a decent match. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like, I don't know if that was the right time for La Rebellion to lose the titles. I'm not sure. I know they wanted to do a reset across the roster with titles, obviously bringing in new people. And I'm glad Aaron Stevens is going to get a lot of chance to rub these titles in people's faces, so that's great. But it was a little clunky finish for me, because La Rebellion did seem like a much stronger team athletically in there. It just, the plausibility of the finish just didn't work. But what can you do? I didn't write it. I didn't perform it. I just have to watch it and then complain about it. So
yeah, my opinion of BFT is exactly that. I kind of think of them as almost like Demolition without any kind of personality or draw. So for me, they're really kind of like a blank canvas for Aaron Stevens to paint on.
Exactly.
Like,
it's totally
Aaron Stevens is the draw. It's just these two big bruisers that are going to go in. They're not going to finesse it. They're just going to beat the crap out of you. I mean we're both big marks for La Rebellion, so I'm not happy they lost, but again, it continues the theme. And I don't know, I just, whenever I see Aaron Stevens with the glove, I assume it's coming into play.
Yeah, totally. Even if it misses, or if it's like, even if the referee is supposed to chastise him for using it and he doesn't, it's all still for the fun of the moment. So I get it. It's fine. So
yeah,
it not my favorite match of the night, but again, it's serving the purpose of where we're going with the promotion. Mm-hmm. So the doing a weigh-in, it felt really clunky to me. That really slowed the pay-per-view down. I don't think we needed Tyrus and EC3 to come out, and it took like 10 minutes, and I'm like, I was really bored. I don't enjoy that anyway in any match. It could be WrestleMania 3 with Andre and Hogan. I don't want to watch the weigh-in. So I didn't think that was, I know what they're trying to do, the big fight feel, but maybe don't do that again. I thought that was really a boring, clunky segment. So I have nothing good to say about it.
Especially when nothing happens.
Exactly.
Like, he gives each of them an opportunity to say something. And when has Tyrus ever been short for words?
When he said no, I'm like, oh, you have nothing to say? Shit, what are we doing here?
And when EC3 had nothing to say, I thought, okay, he's going to say something and that's going to get Tyrus talking. And then when he just sat there silent and Kyle Davis was like, okay, they're going to let their fighting do the talking. And I'm like,
it seemed like a practical joke. Like, it was like, is somebody like being punked?
Something we would have seen on NWA USA back.
Yeah, it was really weird. So I think we've spoken enough about that segment.
I didn't even have it in my notes. That's how much I didn't care.
My note says weigh-ins are dumb, is what my note says. That's all it says.
I agree with your notes.
The main event was a friggin' banger, as we knew it would be.
Fuck yeah.
Camille and Markova Volume 3. I'm getting a little tired of weapons matches in all promotions because they are getting really overdone.
Mm.
But these two really just went at it, gave it their all. I have what the fuck keyboard shots. So, because if you've ever seen anyone get hit in the face full on with a keyboard, I have now twice. Holy hell. Thought she was going to kill her with that. Like, actually, maybe don't do that. Like, that was violent shit. Like, that was concussion worthy, those shots of that keyboard. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, yeah. I cringed. I mean, yeah, hell of a spot. And maybe it's a worked keyboard somehow, but yeah.
Did
I
not
don't know.
Look like it. The keys were exploding off it. It was like,
and it didn't sound like it either. No. Like, it sounded solid. Not like a gimmick table or something where you can have it, but
yeah,
holy shit. Yeah, they left it all out there. And the kendo sticks and
Nobody can say Markova is not tough as hell. She like sometimes to a detriment. She seems like one of those wrestlers that's just like, yeah, no, do whatever. You know, throw me wherever, hit me with whatever. It's fine. I'll be fine. It's like, will you? Will you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and we've said it time and time again how she really is the antithesis of what people would think, because you look at her and you think, oh, she's the typical supermodel, quote unquote, pretty girl wrestler, just going to be a diva. She's got elements of that.
Yeah.
But no, she's not afraid to get down and dirty and drop blood and take, holy, she bumps like hell.
That it's finish, incredible. Like when they set up that table on the outside, like it was one of those fan service things, because when they set up the table in that position, you see who's wrestling, you know, at some point Camille is going to spear her off the apron through the table. Like that's, you just know that's how that match is going to end. And so I like spots like that. I like when you are waiting going, oh wait, that thing is still set. Wait, someone's got to use that thing. Like, you know, they're not going to leave it there for no reason. Right. So the whole match I kept waiting. And then finally with Markova hanging off the rope, it's like, oh, here comes the spear. And that was a perfectly executed spot. Violent as hell. Like that table just exploded into shards everywhere. And that was false count anywhere, right? So they just pinned her through the table. Because there's at that point, don't get people to get up and get back in the ring. Just count three, it's over.
That's the moment you've won the night.
Let them lie there for a bit.
Yeah.
Because the match ends like that. Just let them lie there on the ground for like 3 minutes. Catch their breath. So
Well, and how do you follow a match like that up? Not only, holy hell, was that an amazing match, but there's a lot of cleanup in that. You don't.
Well, that's why you end matches with, like, that's why you end pay-per-views with matches like that. Because I've seen where they don't do that at certain events, where they end with another match after that. It's like, what have you done? Like, like they were so smart at WrestleMania last year where they had the big beer match. It turned into a Steve Austin's beer match. And it was last because it's like the entire ring was soaked with beer. You couldn't have a wrestling match after that. So you have to plan ahead sometimes. And so that was good planning. And it was a good way to wrap up night one. So it was a strong night one. It had me seeing what was happening and where we were going, but also excited about what was going to happen. Still kind of dreading the main event the next night because I was not enthused about it. We'll talk about it when we get into night two, but I was worried about EC3 versus Tyrus because, you know, Tyrus can't move, right? So I'm like, what kind of match is this going to be? And then the bull rope stipulation, not my favorite. So we'll get there, but I was nervous about whether that was going to be enjoyable to watch. So, but night one, I think that was a success.
Yeah, I agree. Super, super solid. It had me on the edge of my seat. It was, for me, there was no match that I would have removed, I guess, except for the Brothers of Construction match that I just don't remember ever seeing. So,
and maybe get rid of that weigh-in. We don't need that 10 minutes either.
Well, yeah, and get rid of the weigh-in.
That brings us to night two. And my first note on here is kind of funny because it stood out in my mind. The theme song came on, and instantly I was like, wow, Billy finally wrote one I don't hate. It's not that I love it, but I didn't hate that theme song. It was fine. It was actually like, it's fine. It was a decent enough like rockin' and or roll song to start a wrestling pay-per-view, but typically I mute the TV if I can. It's usually like cringeworthy, but that one, I thought that one was actually an okay song.
It just reminds me anytime there's a theme song for these pay-per-views. It's almost like an AI wrote a Smashing Pumpkins song, and this is what you got.
So that's what he does. I'm pretty sure Billy just gets an AI and just goes, here's my voice. Yeah, and out it comes. So
yeah.
My first note about the beginning of this pay-per-view night two was Tim Storm trying to talk over Tom's death metal music. Because sometimes Tim doesn't pay attention to when you're not supposed to talk. I've noticed that about his color. Like he'll keep talking when Joe's talking. He'll keep talking when something crazy is happening in the match. And he kept talking when the music came on, and he's like yelling over it. I'm just like, Tim, just wait. We can't hear you. We can't hear you over the Swedish death metal. Quiet.
Especially considering his voice was already raspy.
Oh, so raspy. So raspy.
Yeah. Not the best choice there, Tim.
Yeah. I enjoyed the fun of this match being the two of them. We know they're friends. They've tagged together. They're like a long history in wrestling between these two. They're both old school guys. I like both of them a lot. Yeah, and I enjoyed that match. That was a no nonsense. Two guys that know how to do this. There was nothing flashy. If they went off the top rope, it was pretty basic. Like there was nothing high flying or sophisticated about that match. Lots of clotheslines, lots of like big pounding stomps. They both utilized the stomp on the ground. The turnbuckle impacts were loud. Yeah, it was just, that was a good old fashioned wrestling match. I enjoyed everything about it.
Yeah, me too. And just strictly business explodes years later. But yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Right?
I'm a huge fan of both too. And not sure I was surprised that Tom won, but I guess it was a way of vacating that title potentially later, because it was his seventh win. And that was the big thing, is that it would give him the chance to cash it in for his chance.
Totally. I figured he was going to win, because it didn't make sense to have him sitting at six on the night when they want to do all the big reboot. You got to leave him with the chance to be able to cash in. And there's a story to tell, a title match. If he loses, then you're starting. Like, I guess they could start it over with Adonis, but it made sense for Tom to keep getting, because he's getting a push, obviously, having the title now with the potential storyline going forward. I thought it was the right way to finish. And, you know, spoiler, I think it was the only title that didn't change hands on the weekend. So,
yeah. Yeah. It was their way of potentially vacating the title without the champion losing, essentially.
Exactly.
And yeah. I agree. Hard hitting, fun match. Everything that I love about these two wrestlers was on display. So yeah, I was pretty damn happy.
Did you see the cameraman that was wearing the Mando hat?
No.
Yeah, he was right to the left during that match. They panned over. Tom was in the corner, and you see the Mandalorian helmet looking in the ring. I was like, wait,
yes.
What the fuck?
Yes,
I was
yes,
so confused.
Yes.
And then he lifted his head. I'm like, oh, it's a baseball cap. Oh shit, he's just wearing a Mandalorian baseball cap. I thought it was like, I like that the helmet was actually the top of the cap. It was pretty cool. So
yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I saw it once and it must have just been the cameraman looking down, because I thought, well, that's random to see a Mando.
I thought it was random too
in the crowd, but then I never saw it again, so I just kind of forgot it.
And now we've outed ourselves as big Star Wars nerds and also wrestling nerds. So now I can finally launch my Star Wars wrestling podcast that I want to do.
That's true. Please take me with you to a galaxy far, far away. A wrestling ring far, far away.
Wrestling ring far, far away. What a desolate ring this is. No, we'll stop. We'll stop now. No one to beat us. No, never mind.
But I'm glad you actually, it's funny. I'm glad you mentioned the cameraman, because that's one thing I meant to mention off the top, is that I really liked having that camera guy in the corner.
Me too.
Those really up close looks at what was going on in the ring, and it really captured some of the facial expressions and up close action.
Yeah,
I really appreciated that.
So that match took us to the women's tag championship match. I like both teams. Like pretty, it's the new Pretty Empowered. So they're very young, but they crack me up. So I find them very amusing. They just make me laugh. They're good in the ring, but their personalities are what really win for me. And M95 are good. But my first note on this is they got to get some better gear, because if they're a matching, like a tag team should, you don't have to wear matching gear, but you have to wear something that ties it together. Just a little bit for me. And they always come out and it looks so like one's wearing running shoes, and it's just, I like them. I think they're actually really quite good in the ring. I just want them to get step up the gear a bit. That's all I'd ask.
Yeah. Well, and again, it's funny. Sometimes you and I were a little too in sync. My note is Pretty Empowered's ring gear is always on point. Always.
Always.
Like, it doesn't matter which members are coming out, whether it's all four of them, whether it's two of them. Like, we recently saw that brutal, like, weapons match that they were in.
Oh, yeah.
And they were bringing out pink baseball bats.
Like, right?
They just,
their the theme.
Absolutely. Yeah. It is absolutely always on point, which I really, really appreciate.
Yeah. And so because of the gear, that's why I knew that Pretty Empowered were going to win the tag titles. I'm like, their gear's better. They win the tag titles. It's gotta be. They want the new NWA to represent well. You got to wear better gear. I'm sorry. That's just how it works.
That's just how it works. Well, sorry. And Pretty Empowered, at least for me, they are the more interesting team. Like, I do like the individuals of M95.
Yeah.
But yeah, Pretty Empowered, they just bring a little bit extra to the ring. They're not just a well-rounded team. M95 don't really have a lot of personality that I see, whereas Pretty Empowered, that's all they are. Well, that isn't all they are. Obviously, no, but they can wrestle, yeah. But they bring attitude, they bring personality.
Yeah, that's the standout about that team. So that was the right outcome. I'm glad Pretty Empowered won the tag belts. So that was good. Now we'll move on. And yes, my pseudo hero of the night, Jack Cartwheel. So it's the stupidest gimmick. It's really dumb. And I love it. Like, it's it's not that him being athletic is dumb. It's literally the name. The name Jack Cartwheel is a really dumb name, but he does cartwheels. So it's also kind of awesome in a weird way. So
yeah,
I like Jack Cartwheel. And I know when he comes out, you're just, okay, wait for it. Okay, wait for the next one. Wait for the next one. Like, there's going to be at least 10 moves in the match that you're going to go, wow, holy shit, that was a hell of a thing. You know, so great match. I enjoyed that a lot. This was where I was like, oh, there's another light heavyweight title match. Like, this is where I could see they were sort of launching the new era of NWA. They were making sure everyone saw the new champions and the multiple title defenses. I wasn't expecting Colby Carino to have a second match. So
no, me neither. And we've seen Jay Cartwheel before. He was on.
He was in Mexico.
And I remember us both being impressed with him back then. And I hope he's a regular, because he puts on a really dynamic, well wrestled and athletic match. So he was a good pairing with Colby Carino. And I really, really enjoyed that match.
I wrote down that he's very impressive and that he's the NWA's Ricochet, because he doesn't have a lot of personality. Sorry, Ricochet. Ricochet is amazing. Like, he's an incredible wrestler, but just, not a lot of personality on the mic, which I can see with Jack Cartwheel. He's all about the flips and flops, and I'm here for it. Very exciting. Yep. I like it a lot. So, And Colby's finisher being Zed's Dead is one of my favorite finisher names in wrestling. Zed's Dead. Yeah. I love it. So, good match. Colby retained. So we had our second successful title defense of the weekend. So for a new champion. So Max was up next. Who were they defending against? I forget.
They were defending against Ruthie J. And
oh yeah.
By that was
massacre.
Toying with Ruthie
J. Holy. Like, so like I said off of night one, they were trying to just establish that Max the Impaler is dominating, like vicious, like unstoppable, because that match was like, wow, okay. It was like a snowstorm. I was like, oh yeah. All right. You could tell right away. This is how the match is going to go. Okay.
Yeah, it was over.
Yeah. So successful title defense again, TV title, the non-binary TV title secured by Max the Impaler. So next was a tag match that seemed kind of like it was definitely set up as a grudge match with La Rebellion. You have Vampiro in the corner. And you and I didn't know about the rivalry apparently between Vampiro and what's his name?
Violent J.
Violent J. So the clowns come out with Violent J, and I was hoping Violent J would look a little better. I didn't like his gear either. I thought he looked really sloppy. I was hoping for a jersey or one of the things he used to wear, but that's fine. The clowns are hilarious. There's something about them I just really enjoy. I did have a question that, again, I'm going to ask the NWA referees this question. How come they ignore foreign objects all the time? So popping a balloon in someone's face, although funny, that's a foreign object. So, and you should at least reprimand the team that does it and grab the balloon that is now and throw it out and point your finger and yell at them or something. But they always ignore it like it never even happened. It bugs me just a little bit that they do that all the time. drives me nuts.
I was expecting, like you said, I was expecting a little bit of a reprimand for the popped balloon in the face, but yeah, nothing.
So, but that was a good match. It was another very violent match. I found it was like La Rebellion. They were trying to do a bit of a heel turn with them, because like calling them a babyface is like, they're not really a babyface tag team, but they're a fan favorite tag team. But it seemed like they were trying to turn the crowd against them by just being really nasty. Like they were being really mean to the clowns at the end there. And I was like, I kind of liked it a little bit, because I think if you're not going to be the tag champs, you might as well be like a vengeful. They look like monsters anyway, so just act like monsters too. I thought that was pretty good. So
I agree. Correct me. Maybe you got a different feeling. I'm not entirely sure Vampiro knows why he's there. Because he's done some promo spots that are rambling and kind of lead nowhere. And then in this match, sometimes he looked confused as to what he was supposed to do or where he's supposed to go. And
when he's standing there looking around? He's looking around. I'm like, what's he looking for? Is he seeing stuff we're not seeing? I'm like, is there ghosts that Vampiro is looking at right now? I know, I saw that too.
I'm like, I don't know that he knows what he's doing anymore.
Or this is just maybe what he's always done. I haven't seen him much in the past, so maybe this is his gimmick. He's nuts.
Oh, he's definitely nuts, whether it was his gimmick or not. It is now.
So the next match we had, it was a follow-up from what happened on night one with Matt Cardona and Ricky Morton. So we didn't talk about that on night one, but it looked like it was supposed to be some payback on night two with Kerry Morton getting his hands on Matt Cardona. I had something about this match didn't work for me, and it's because Kerry Morton was acting like Matt Cardona. And it was like, so to me, it felt like they were trying to like babyface flip Matt Cardona the whole time and get the people cheering for him. Because Joe kept saying, listen to this crowd cheering for Matt. And I'm like, are they? And then Kerry Morton was acting like such an asshole the whole time.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's something about it just, it felt forced. He's so bad and maybe we should like this guy now. None of it felt natural to me. That match didn't work for me.
It's like we said about his performance in night one. It just seemed completely unhinged, absolutely unhinged. In a way, really takes away from Matt Cardona, because he just seemed very vanilla. Like there wasn't a lot of his personality in the match because Kerry Morton was so extra.
Yeah.
And the fact that Kerry Morton then won, I wasn't sure I liked that either. Because
Me neither.
I
don't think Matt Cardona's staying. I think that's what they were doing. I think that this was Matt Cardona getting a couple matches in, having a weird babyface turn. I don't think we're going to see him. I don't think he's part of the plan. So
that's my guess. I'm betting you're probably right, which is too bad, because I really like him and I was hoping seeing him a couple nights that would be the case, that we would be seeing more of him going forward. But yeah,
he's a busy man. He just won another title yesterday or 2 days ago. So he's got another indie. Yeah, he just won another indie title. I don't even remember. Just pick three letters and put them together and put them on a title. He won another one. So
He really is the belt collector.
The last thing I'll say about that is the refs did it again in that match, because Alex Taylor was literally in the ring for like the final minute of the match and the ref never threw him out once. And then the three count happened. And I'm like, the guy is still in the ring. That's not supposed to be in the ring. Like you can't, if it's a tag match, fine, you can do that. In a singles match, that's an outside interference. You can't end the match. Anyway, NWA refs, I'd say I love you, but I don't. You need some schooling. You need some schooling.
Wholly inconsistent.
Yeah. So next match was the epitome of, I started to see a little repetition in the pay-per-view. So doing everyone getting a second title match for every title. We didn't need the Jordan Clearwater Thrillbilly match. Yep. There was no story to set that up at all. And I wasn't invested in that match one bit. And when Thrillbilly came out wearing that stupid jacket, I hated it. I hated his jacket so much. He'll never wear that again. That was a mistake. I don't know what he thought with that red sparkly. That wasn't him. I hated that jacket.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Oh, it was awful. But the match had no flow. There was no point. And there a babyface turn for Clearwater. That seemed really weird. He's been such an asshole this whole time. So
yeah,
didn't need that match.
And again, they were, I don't know whether it's them trying to make it seem like the pre-show was relevant, because he was there because he won some kind of match slash mini tournament, something or other, to get there. And
yeah.
I'm like, well,
I know.
Especially on, and we've talked about this before, on a two-night pay-per-view, I'm not watching two more hours on top of that
right?
to get some context that I likely don't really need.
I know. So yeah, I that match I didn't need. It could have not been involved. It seemed, you know, we jumped from that. I don't know if you have anything else for that one, but we jumped right into another tag title match. It started to like pile up a little bit with the repetition of the whole thing. So I love this pay-per-view, but it could have been maybe one really long night one instead of a two-night thing. But because come on, Billy, that is asking people to pay twice. Like, let's face it. So, but yeah. Knox and Murdoch. Okay, I know they won the Crockett Cup, and I actually really like that team. I'm surprised because Mike Knox, I didn't like, and now it's like the meter's like about 60%. So I actually do consider it that I like him. He still bugs me a little bit, but Trevor Murdoch is just one of my favorites. So yes. I tolerate Mike Knox, but them together, it works for me. And that match was okay. They did about what they could with four big guys, Aaron Stevens, but you know, the glove would be involved again. And this is where the repetition was coming. Like, we just saw this the night before. So you got to kind of pace this stuff out a bit. I don't think we needed another tag team title match. So,
yeah, well, and I agree. Like, I have actually embraced Mike Knox quite a bit. I really love his just kind of, I mean, I know I'm using the phrase a lot, especially after talking about Kerry Morton, but his just kind of lunacy and being totally unhinged.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Like in promos, he's just talking about something, and you can even see that Trevor Murdoch's just looking like, I don't have a fucking clue what you're talking about, buddy. But they work. Like, they really, really work as a tag team. This one, the minute it started, I thought, there's no way that this is going to be a clean finish because they're going to protect Knox and Murdoch.
Yeah.
And it's very unlikely that they're going to have BFT with Aaron Stevens lose the titles one night after getting them.
That makes it kind of predictable, right? Like, you already know what's going to happen. That's why they don't need to have that match. Have it on Power the next week or something. Don't have it on the next night, or don't even have another night of the pay-per-view.
I do find that a lot of times with these two night pay-per-views, night one is really good and night two is mostly good.
Yep. That's pretty much almost standard for, like, probably for Wrestle Kingdom, for WrestleMania. It's always one of those nights is going to be the stacked one. The second one's going to have a giant main event and then some other matches probably. So, it led to what was such an important match. I don't know that it was better than the Camille match from night one, because that was one of the best matches of the weekend. But Kenzie Page, versus the Brick House, with the feeling that this was a big reset coming, I was like, are they actually going to end the one-time champion Camille? Is her era going to be over in the NWA as champ? And yeah, that's where they went with it. And I enjoyed the match. It actually was really good. It was the strong Camille and the smaller, faster Kenzie Page. It was lots of big hits, lots of flying around, lots of good moves, lots of selling, lots of emotion. So I actually enjoyed that match. It wasn't quite as good as the previous night's match, just because the trauma and the violence that they were doing. But it was very effective, as far as I believed that she deserved to win when it was over.
Yep.
Camille giving her the push too was really awesome. So having her family, Kenzie Page's family there to have that, those moments are always really important for fans to see, the excitement, the tears, the joy from winning. So and then to have Pretty Empowered have all the titles, it sunk in real quick that that's a faction now that controls the gold. And I love that, and I don't usually see that with women's factions. That's great that they have an all women's faction that is, like, they can sort of claim control of NWA, right, with all the gold. So I like that. So
No, I thought it was a banger of a match. Hard hitting, like you said, you had the dominant Brick House and the survivalist in Kenzie Page for sure. And very much the resourceful, like you mentioned her about the spot, the table spot in night one. Well, Kenzie Page removing the turnbuckle.
Right. And totally.
That not coming into play right away, it does sit in the back of your mind of, well, they don't do that to not use it. So that's coming into play at some point. And I thought the way they did it worked really well.
Me too.
And I mean, if somebody was going to end the Brick House's reign, I'm really glad it's Kenzie Page. And I think having a different type of champion in there opens up for different types of matches because Agreed. Camille is so dominant. If you put Max the Destroyer in there, they are also just an indomitable force. Yeah. You're just kind of trading that off. At least now this opens it up to having a couple different types of matches. And Camille was adaptable, but yeah, it's a completely different vibe. And as far as a reset, I mean, that's what you want. And yeah, this match was really, really well done. Yeah. Well put on.
She's smaller and she'll have to be quick and she'll have to do like kind of what Macho Man did in WWE back in the day when he was the main champion. He was a smaller guy. And they definitely used that in his storytelling. He was always on the run from the big guys, fleeing, being quicker than they could, getting outside the ring, you know, and she'll have to do the same thing. She'll have to utilize that. It's not the 6 minute time limit anymore with the TV title. She'll have to, it's a full title defense and she'll have to use her quickness. She can't be doing suplexes off the top rope if she's fighting someone that's 50 pounds heavier than she is. So she's not a big person. And so she'll have to use her quickness, and her finisher is something that can be used on anyone. I do like the idea. It's basically like a diamond cutter or like a RKO, right? So same finish move. You can use that on anyone. Anyone can fall forward and take that move. So,
and it will feel like the title reign is in jeopardy every time she steps in the ring, not because she's not good, but because she's not that beast that the challenger has to overcome.
Exactly. Unfortunately, that match leads us to the main event, which for me was everything that I feared it would be. It was so we had EC3. I noticed right away a rebrand was done on him. Did you notice it right away? He had new gear, he had new hair, and he had a new attitude. I was like, wow, like he's a completely, I wouldn't even know it's the same guy. He'd shaved his face, new haircut, that new Roman looking thing he was wearing. And then he wasn't acting like that. What was his old gimmick? The narrative thing.
Control your narrative.
Yeah. Like that, clearly that's in the past. So I was like, oh, okay. I kind of like that they gave him sort of a fresh start. And yeah, Tyrus could barely get to the ring. Yeah. That match was 20 minutes too long for me. I did not enjoy it at all.
I didn't hate it, but I will not say that I loved it or super enjoyed it either. And
yeah,
I think part of that was coming into this match, knowing or assuming what was going on with Tyrus and the fact that he has not been visible forever. Like not even building, like there was radio silence leading up to this. So the fact that as soon as they put the stipulation on of if he loses, he's going to retire, I thought, well, he's going to lose and he's going to retire. Yeah. So even I wasn't even invested in that outcome. And I've grown to be a pretty big Tyrus fan. He, as far as a talker and a presence, and man, he had all of that, but you're right. As far as like moves and carrying a match, like, yeah, that is just not what he's built for now.
And he's not a champ. Like, so he can't be the champion of a promotion. That's why they had to take the title off. Like he can't be like representing the product when you can barely do the product, right? So no, not so much. The retirement speech was nice at the end. He had a chance to say goodbye to everybody, but my only note about the actual match was painful. So
yeah,
painful, that's all I said.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and I agree. I like the stuff after the match more than the match itself. I loved seeing all the wrestlers come from the back to kind of congratulate him on his run, and yeah, exactly, seeing the emotion, because I do like the guy in a wrestling sense, like what he brought to the NWA as far as his personality. And I really, honestly, one of the things I loved the most about his retirement speech was him talking to Kyle Davis and saying that he was going to miss Kyle Davis the most.
That was nice. Yeah.
That was really awesome. So yeah, I can't say that I loved it either. So,
but it started the new era. We have a new champion, and it was a good pay-per-view, but it led to the last two episodes of Power that we've had. This is not the same show we were watching before.
No, it certainly isn't.
I mentioned it to my wife and she was like, I wonder if they got a producer. And I'm like, I wonder if they did get someone with a different vision and a different idea. Cause if anyone hasn't watched it, it's a different show. They have an idea for it. They've gone all in on the idea. And I think personally, it's a much more professional looking program.
Yep.
And they're doing some things that I don't see on other shows. So the opening digital vignette they did, very professional, very well produced, talking about the new era they were leading into. I'm like, okay, well, that could be all talk. I'm like, but it was a well-produced thing. So I'm like, okay, where are they going with this? But once we got into the show, I'm like, this is not the same show. They introduce what matches are coming at the beginning. Mm-hmm. They never do that. So setting up story for the show. Before every commercial break, they tell you what's coming next. They show the wrestlers on the screen with those. It's like a video game. Did you notice when like the entrances are video game entrances now? It's digital. They come out and do their little move, and then they're in the ring and there's smoke. They actually have the entrance way with the lights and the girders. I'm like, wow, it's like it doesn't look like the same product at all, but it is because the wrestling is the same. The crowd is the same. You still have Kyle, but where Kyle stands now with the big monitor looks more professional. All of it just looks like there's a little bit of money and they're actually like someone has an idea of how it should look. Because it was a little haphazard before, which was fun. But if you're going to be taken seriously, which it was not before 75, if you're going to be taken seriously, it needs to look like you give a shit about the product. And it does now. It legit looks like they care about what you're going to say about it after you've watched it. I'm impressed. So
it felt like they went from community theater to something like a traveling production for
totally.
And I'm glad they're back in the studio. Agree exactly that of like now they have that rundown, which I really like, and each episode has a different opening monologue that really gets you amped up and
sets up a story for the episode.
yep
Storytelling. They're gonna have more storytelling finally. I noticed each match had a point that would lead to potentially something next week, maybe, or a pay-per-view. Like it's like, shit, I actually see a future for these characters and where they might go.
Yeah. Well, and even something, even when Joe was introducing the next match and it was after the commercial break, we'll see so-and-so versus so-and-so and we'll see there was context. We'll see if they are able to avenge this. And it's if you are tuning in for the first time, that is valuable information because you don't know the history. So,
I've told you this before. You should be able to tune into any wrestling show anytime. You've never watched it before. And within 10 minutes, you should know what's going on. It's just wrestling. And when you don't know what's going on, that's a bad thing. And so finally, they have just that simple flow of information at the beginning, the information during the match, and the information when you're done. That's wrestling. Mm-hmm. And that leads you to the next thing you want to do. So, I don't really have a lot to say about the individual matches because they were all good. They actually enjoyed all the matches. I'm just more just excited about what they showed, that they actually are serious about where they want to go with this. They have new champions. Yep. They have champions that really, I think, are going to represent well. Even EC3, who I don't really like, he at least seems like a champion to me. When he comes out, wearing the title, he looks like a champ. He sounds like a champ. And if I don't like him, then I'm going to be cheering for people to beat him. That's wrestling right there. Can he just go away? No, I want to see someone pin him. So that's a good thing. So Jax Dane being, they didn't call him the Dane Event. He's not wearing the fur vest. Like his gimmick was starting to bug me. His attitude gimmick, it is boring. It does nothing for me as a fan. So just be a big, tough, scary dude. And he is a big, tough, scary dude. So to me, little changes like that with the gimmicks, I like that. They probably are getting feedback on and they're reading what people are saying and they're actually listening. So
a great fresh start. I agree. I'm very hopeful for the new direction for sure.
And we can actually have a segment on the show where we're excited to talk about our I'm gonna say our beloved NWA, because we've been in this since the beginning of the new era of NWA, and it's had its ups and downs and ups and downs and downs and downs and downs and now ups. So we're back. Yay. We're back, baby. We're back. So pushes and tapouts, I don't have a lot to share in that this time because it was a good pay-per-view. My push would be NWA. I'm happy that it's a new era. I'm happy that they're taking it seriously. I'm glad that Max has a title. I'm glad that Kenzie has a title. So I think my push is just for wrestling, for NWA wrestling. I'm happy that it's going to go well. And for tap out, I don't have anything. My tap out would be the bad wrestling promotion that we, or the subpar one we were watching before. And I'm excited about where it's going now. So,
yep.
And now I'm getting mauled by a cat.
Yes, you are. And I'm much the same as far as the big push. I was mostly satisfied with that pay-per-view. I'm really excited about the new direction, the new champions, the new potential for different storytelling and just a different vision. I'm ready for that. And as far as tap out, I would say really the biggest tap out was just the lack, and I get it now, and we've talked about it, but the lack of build towards this. I get that, okay, now, yeah, you were going to do a reset, but in that moment, I'm the fan. I don't know that you're doing that. Why am I watching that? Because if I'm not happy with that product, why am I tuning into the pay-per-view in 2 weeks that you're excited about and reset everything? Well, if that's my last straw and I'm like, fuck this, I'm out. I'm not there for the reset. So that would be my biggest tap out, is just better storytelling. But I have hope that we're going to get that.
And I think it's clear from the way they've launched it to these two episodes that's what they want to do. We'll see if it can stick, but two episodes in, if they stick with this format, I thought it was a fun show that I think my wife, she stopped watching NWA actually, because we moved on to Raw and SmackDown. It's a lot of wrestling to watch, but that was an entertaining enough hour of TV. I think she might enjoy that too. So, okay, well, it's time to wrap things up. Huge thanks to all the listeners that joined us this week. Don't forget to subscribe and download the episode in your podcast app of choice. Every little bit helps us. Spotify users, you can now interact directly with the podcast in-app as we add Q&As and polls for every episode, so check those out. And we even try and read out your responses, so let us have them. And you can now reach the podcast on Instagram at Murder Gymnastics Pod. I try and post daily, so pop on over for fun memes, pics, and videos. And of course, Paul, if people got nothing going on, what should they do?
Go watch some wrestling! Yeah!